Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in numbers in the Bible, as it's often called numerology. And last time we were together, we started to look at the number seven. And of course, we said the number seven has to do, it's connected often with completion or perfection. And we started to look at some notable sevens found elsewhere in the Bible. Next we want to look at, there are seven I Am's in the Gospel according to John, which of course is the Gospel of the deity of Jesus Christ. Because John tells us there over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 20, in John 20, verse number 31, John tells us why this gospel, his gospel that he wrote, why it was written in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through his name. So let's look at the seven I Am in the Gospel here, in the Gospel of John. First of all, let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 with me. In verse number 35, Gospel of John chapter 6, in verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Then we see also there in verse 51, he continues and he says, I am the living bread. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So Jesus said, he said there, we just read, in verse 35 of John 6, I am the bread of life, living bread, amen? And now we want to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse number 12. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It's the second I am. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he said, I am the bread, amen, the living bread, John said, amen. I am the bread of life. There we just read in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Here in John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. Look with me now in John chapter 9, in verse number 5. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, restating what he just said in John chapter 8, verse 5, that he is the light. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is not only the living bread, the bread of life, but he is also the light of the world. Now look at in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, Jesus said in John chapter 10, excuse me, verse number 7, Jesus said, I am the door, excuse me, no. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the door of salvation, amen. Then again in verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. So Jesus said, I am the door of salvation. If you enter in through Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Amen. Look with me in John chapter 10, verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he said, in John chapter 10, verse 11. And again, he restates that in John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Let's finish John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So now we see that Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen. Then look with me in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Looking in John chapter 14, verse number 6. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, and he's talking here to Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And look finally in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, in verse number 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then again in verse 5 of John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, we need to remember this as Christians, for without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. If you've accomplished anything for the Lord today, it's because of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And then we see now, as we're looking at the notable sevens found elsewhere in the Bible, amen. Before we move on to that, I just want to comment one more thing about the I Ams, the seven I Ams in the Gospel. The I Am, this is a name of deity, amen. Because remember when Moses, when he came to the burning bush, and he said to the Lord God, you know, who should I tell Israel that you are, amen, that sent me? And we have the answer in Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. So we see that Jesus is Jehovah God of the Old Testament, amen. Looking in then John chapter 8, John chapter 8, in verse number 58, John 8, 58. In John 8, verse 58, Jesus said something to get the religious crowd really upset there. In John 8, 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. See, he was the, Jesus Christ is I am of that burning bush, amen, who appeared to Moses, amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's move on and look at another notable seven found in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 3 to 6 gives the sevenfold unity of the Spirit. The sevenfold unity of the Spirit. Let's turn together to Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 with me, beginning in verse 3. And we'll read down to verse 6 to see the sevenfold unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 3, beginning verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, amen, meaning one body of Christ, one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, in you all. So we have the one body, the one spirit, the one hope, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God. Then if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6 with me, Ephesians chapter 6, amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, gives the seven-piece armor of God that the Christian is to put on daily. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. 3, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And above all, amen, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Then he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Amen. So we have the loins girt about with truth, one, the breastplate of righteousness, two, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, three, the shield of faith, four, the helmet of salvation, five, the sword of the Spirit, six, and number seven is prayer. Amen. Prayer is essential. Amen. Alrighty. In the book of Hebrews, there are seven better things mentioned in the book of Hebrews. And let's turn there. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, to see the seven better things. First, we want to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. In verse number 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So we see a better hope here mentioned in Hebrews. Look at in verse 22. In Hebrews 7, verse 22. So we have a better hope, number one. Number two, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So the second better thing mentioned in the book of Hebrews is a better testament. Look also in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Hebrews 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with, here it is, better sacrifices. Amen. So the third thing, third better, is better sacrifices. Amen. Better sacrifices. And now we want to see in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8, verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, but how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant. See, we have a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. Better promises. Look at in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 34. Look at what it says. For ye have had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. A better and enduring substance. There's another better found there in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Look at in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. We see Hebrews 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, a better country. That is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then we want to look at one last place in Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Amen? A better resurrection. So here we see seven betters mentioned, seven things that are better mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Now, as we're looking at notable sevens found elsewhere in the Bible, let's turn to James chapter 3 in James chapter 3 and verse 17. It gives a sevenfold description of divine wisdom. We read this, the sevenfold description of divine wisdom is found here in James chapter 3, verse 17. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So the sevenfold description of divine wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, 3, easily to be entreated, 4, full of mercy and good fruits, 5, without partiality, 6, and without hypocrisy, 7. So that concludes the study on the number 7, again, connected with 7s, connected with completion or perfection. Now we want to turn our attention in our study to the number 8. Number 8. Well, if number 7 signifies divine perfection and completeness, then 8, being 7 and 1, amen, stands for a new beginning. Let's look at, for example, some things to do with a new beginning. According to 1 Peter, amen, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, there were 8 souls on the ark who subsequently constituted the new world, the post-diluvian order, amen. So we see there are 8 souls there mentioned in 1 Peter. And they were 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. And they started the new world, amen, after the flood, amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing within, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Amen. 8 souls were saved by water. Then we see 8 connected with new life. God commanded, amen, that the rite of circumcision be performed on the 8th day. Amen. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 12. Amen. Leviticus chapter 12. So we see here in Leviticus chapter 12, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 12, in verse number 3, Leviticus 12, 3. We read, in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Amen. Of course, this was a sign between God and Israel. Amen. First given to Abraham. Amen. We also read that there are 8 days are accomplished when a child is born, it is circumcised on the eighth day. And of course, we read of, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 with me. In Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, in verse number 21, amen, and it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was born. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was consumed in the womb. So here we have Jesus was born under the law, and his parents were Jewish. His stepfather, Joseph, his mother, Mary, and following the Mosaic law, the law of circumcision, he was circumcised the eighth day after his birth. We also know that John the Baptist was also circumcised on the eighth day. Abraham, we know, was circumcised in Acts chapter 7, verse 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 8 for a moment. We read, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Of course, Abraham was older, amen, when this covenant of circumcision was given to him. But we see immediately he begat his son Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, amen. And then the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 5, Philippians 3, Paul tells us that he was circumcised the eighth day. Look at what Paul says. He says in Philippians 3, verse 5, he's giving his reasons, if he had any, to have confidence in the flesh, which he said you shouldn't. But he tells us that he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Amen. So then, let's see some other things we want to see dealing with the number eight. David, King David, was the eighth son of Jesse. And, of course, here we have he was a type of Christ. And then we also see, we want to consider the cleansing that took place on the eighth day that made a person new. Amen. Be it for leprosy, amen. Look at in Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14 with me. In Leviticus chapter 14, I want to turn our attention to first Leviticus 14, verse 10. We read here, on the eighth day he shall take, and on the eighth day, he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, and mingle with the oil, and 1 log of oil. And then we read down there in verse 23, and he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing under the priest, under the door of the tabernacle, the congregation before the Lord. And this all was in connection with the cleansing of a leper. Amen? On the eighth day, he was made new. Again, that the number eight is connected with a new beginning or newness. Amen? Look at in Leviticus chapter 15. Amen? Leviticus chapter 15. We read, and on the eighth day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord under the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, and give them unto the priests. Amen. Unto the priests. In verse 29 of Leviticus 15, we read, and on the eighth day she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priests, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And of course, this had to do with the cleansing of a woman. Amen. So on the eighth day, we have cleansing. A person becomes new again. And just before I conclude on the number eight, we also want to know that there are 7 1,000-year periods of history of man on this earth. Amen. Right now, we're in the 6th 1,000-year, amen, period of history. And the 7th is going to come. And, of course, the number 7 is completion. Number 7 will be 1,000-year, the millennial reign of Christ when he returns. Amen. For the church, and then comes at the second advent. And then we're going to have a new beginning. Amen. We're going to go out into eternity, praise the Lord. The number 8, new beginning. Now we're going to, as time permits here, is consider the number 9. 9 has to do with fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, amen. 9 has to do with fruitfulness. If you think about it, a woman gives birth after she bears her fruit, the fruit of her womb, after 9 months of carrying that the baby in her womb, amen. That's right. Also, we know there are 9 full fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. The 9-fold fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then we see something else very interesting with the number 9. The 9th year of fruitfulness, amen, in Leviticus chapter 25, in verses 2 to 4, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 25 and verses 2 to 4. We read, "Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt not neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard." Now let's drop down to verse 18. "Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it will bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." So we see until the 9th year, amen, until her fruits come. So in the 9th year, the new fruit would come. And then, of course, we have mentioned in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 11, is the 9 Beatitudes, as they're called. Blessed are, number 1, the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, number 2. Blessed are the meek, number 3. Blessed they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, amen. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, they which are persecuted, ye which when men shall revile you. All of these are the person is the 9 Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, 1. Mourn, 2. Meek, 3. Hunger and thirst, 4 and 5. Merciful, 6. Pure, 7. Peacemaker, 8. Persecuted, 9. Revile, 9. Actually, hunger and thirst should be 1. So we do have 9 Beatitudes all together. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor study. Next time we're together, we'll take up the number 10 for consideration. And until we meet again, this is Pastor Gino Cassieri, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor study. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.